questions? Yes, sir.
No, sir.
You got my back.
I got your back.
You got my back.
I got your back.
You got my back.
I got your back.
Everybody's got their back. Get up and let's feel it.
Tennessee. 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 Tennessee.
A lemon, pizza seasoning, and mayo. That's what's in Fox Sports Knoxville refrigerator. Young warrior, Nathan Odom, went looking for some snacks back there. I told him, key is old veteran trick around here. You got to get your drawer. You got to start hiding snacks.
Yeah, that was bad. Bad food discipline on my part, you know.
Sometimes there's some high quality Jets pizza back there. I guess that all got eaten up. But yeah, man, you need a little something for your system. Need a little energy.
I'm really good at bringing drinks because occasionally I will find like a water in there that I just desperately need, and then I'll bring two.
Oh, yeah, you'll get lucky.
That's my contribution to the station. If I steal somebody else's water to put in there, I'll bring back two.
That's a good
one
move.
For myself in the future, and one for somebody who needs it in a time of desperation.
That's
I saw
a solid
some beer
move.
Back there. There's some beer in the fridge.
Oh, there's some beer.
That doesn't really help my hunger or the fact that I'm 20 years old.
Yeah, exactly. That too. Yeah, the voluntary reaction. Those guys keep a little beer in the fridge.
We're spoilers of the law around here.
That's right, Esteban over here.
I was talking for me. Wouldn't speak for you.
Catch Fair a enough. Case. Want a little beer. Probably need a bunch of beers today. Gonna need a bunch. This one's gonna be painful.
Roll down tide.
Hey, wait. Listen to this. How mad would you guys get if during a game this happened? I can't compare. Is there a comparison for the Northwestern Iowa rivalry for Tennessee? Is there a comparison? Do you know of one? When I was watching the game earlier, the announcers were talking about a rivalry, but it was like a respectful rivalry. Tennessee doesn't have any respectful rivalries, so I don't know if there's any comparison there in the conference between Iowa and Northwestern.
What do you mean a respectful rivalry?
That's like what they said.
They walk up to each other and they shake each other's
they
hands.
They said the teams had a lot
of
respect for
basket.
Each other. They said it was rivalry, but the teams had a lot of respect for each other.
I got you some scented candles and some soaps.
I didn't really understand it. Tennessee doesn't have any respectful rivalries, so I didn't get it. Anyway, point being, someone just tweeted this at the game. A Northwestern fan just got a cop involved at halftime. Because Iowa fans stand during third and fourth downs.
It's unbelievable. I can't believe they would do that.
Is there a problem with that?
I don't see a problem with that.
It could be worse. You could have this.
Hey, let's go. Let's go third down. Let's go. Let's go.
I want the authorities involved to fix that.
Esteban starting to get his timing down. Good segue right there. Oh, we got a poll up at Fox Sports Knox. Could Alabama beat Tennessee today while on LSD? 81%. Surprising. Big yes. Not surprising at all. 81% say yes. Put them out there. Those no-neck gargantuan ogres. And they'll beat them while on LSD, tripping. Tripping acid, huh? Yeah, they probably could beat him down though. Imagine Jerry Garantano running for his life, a bunch of 6'6", 265-pound gentlemen running at him
on LSD.
Tackling fuel.
Yeah, I think they'll have a little bit of tackling fuel in their system with the LSD. Oh man, this game is gonna be such a joke today. Also, did we get the other poll up? Nick Saban were to lose today, should he be fired?
He's shaking his head no.
Negative. It did not go up. I was giving it a little space from the other poll.
That's okay. That's about another trick in radio. You don't always have to tell everybody what's going on.
Well, they can't see him shaking his head no.
Well, the thing is, I saw him shaking his head no, but it was like, I'm just messing with
you. Okay, you looked at me, and I thought you called me Esteban. I was about to go off. I was about to be like, no. Listen here, buddy.
I was looking at you like laughing.
I got you.
I actually heard you say that on
I was about to say, listen, we're both good looking, but.
I'll get it up. Don't worry about it. Yeah, Nick Saban, there's no way he could blow this.
Okay, wait. I agree with that. Sorry, that's not what I was. That's not what that was for.
You gonna argue for Tennessee? I was thinking.
No. I was thinking about if Nick Saban would be fired if he lost today. Obviously, the answer is no because they couldn't find anybody better than Nick Saban. But I really think from a fan base standpoint, if Alabama lost to Tennessee today, I think there would be a lot of Alabama fans legitimately mad. Like the same section of fans that think Tennessee have a chance of winning today would be the same like Alabama section of fans that would be really pissed at Nick Saban and you know start being like, hey, maybe he's losing his touch, he's getting too old.
Yeah. All right. So we'll play Heather's game. She said that Tennessee was going to win 35-21. If Tennessee were to win, I know this is not possible. We know
all hypothetical here.
All hypothetical. Anybody blowing up my mentions. If Tennessee were to win this game, what's the play? What happens next? They shock the world.
For Butch?
Butch, the program, all of the above.
Oh, boy.
I'll let you go first.
Yeah, sure thing. I posed this question on Twitter during the week. Of course, got laughed at. But I wanted to know.
Hypothetical
I wanted to know, you know, what Butch had to do after Alabama to lose his job. Because that's, you know, the pinnacle of all games here at Tennessee is Nick Saban in Alabama. So for me personally, I think if Tennessee, hypothetically again, beat Alabama, I think Butch could win out and keep his job. But I think a loss to either Kentucky, Vanderbilt, or Southern Miss would – okay, wait, Missouri's there too. So I think a loss to everybody – any one other loss would basically end his job. But I think it would happen at the end of the year. I don't think it would happen in that moment.
Even if he were to win today?
Even if he would win. If he won today and beat Alabama, I think he would have to lose one game, and then it would happen at the end of the year. I don't think it would happen after that game.
Well, he's not going to win, but...
Right.
You know, I think it'd be pretty tough to fire a guy who beat Nick Saban.
Right, exactly. Because for at least a week, if not 2 weeks after Kentucky, you could say, you know, hey... coaches turned this around and did some miracle at Alabama. And, you know, a lot of that would have to go into how they won the game. You know, did Jarrett Garantano throw for 600 yards, something like that. But anyway, at some point, like, coaching would have to do some part of it. And you could argue, if Tennessee won, hypothetically, you could argue that the coaches are turning it around. So you'd have that week of confidence there. Then if Kentucky was a win, you're still turning it around. And basically, the mindset is, after you beat Alabama, is, hey, things are going the right way until you lose again. That's the mindset for me, I think, that Tennessee fans would think if Alabama or Tennessee beat Alabama today.
Nah, if they were to somehow pull some, you know, the biggest upset in Tennessee program history, fans would be back on. I believe that they would all jump back, blind leaps of faith, and they'd be back on. It'd be stupid, and no, like I said, this continues to be a hypothetical situation, but
I don't think fans would be. Back on the train. They would be more – I think fans would be more pissed off that you did that against Alabama, but you couldn't do it against Georgia. You couldn't do it against Florida. You couldn't do it against South Carolina. I think fans are going to be even more mad.
Possibly, but, you know, if it was just something like, you know, a kickoff – I mean, not kickoff, but a field goal late or, you know, something like turnover that led to, you know, just – the biggest – the luckiest win in program history.
Right.
I feel like, you know, fans would jump on just because – you know, live in the moment.
Well, for that to happen, you have people, to play complimentary football.
And people are, yeah. Yeah, thank you, Butch. And people are very forgiving.
I mean, to take it
times.
One step further, if Tennessee came out and coached and played lights out and won today, something would have had to change. So I'd have to rethink it a little bit. I would have to rethink what's going on if it happened now. Obviously, like you said, if it was a fluke, if Jalen Hurts is hurt and Damian Harris goes down, Alabama forgets to show up, you know, some kind of fluke like that. You know, it's a little different. But if Tennessee came out and played and, like, beat the brakes off Alabama or played, like, some team we'd never seen before, obviously I'd have to rethink it. Now, I would be skeptical, and again, I don't think I'd, you know, be on the Butch train. But hypothetically, if it happened, I'd have to rethink some things.
865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in with us. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go against the spread. A little money time action, look at some games around the league. Also, I haven't heard much of Nathan's list of coaches that he'd be looking at. Let's talk about some coaches playing today. It'd be a good fit for Tennessee. Listen to Tennessee Tailgate right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Stay with us. It's time. Let's go ahead and look at some of these games around the spread. Look at some of these games against the spread. Esteban, I think he's picked some games out for me and Mr. Odom. Mr. Odom, first person to beat me here on the tailgate.
Not proud of it. But.
Not proud of it because we both did pretty crappy the weekend of Georgia. Like I said, we were off last week. Nate went 3-7 against the spread. Went 2-8. Looking for a bounce back week this week. First week that I was not over 500. Let's go, Esteban. What you got?
Number 24, LSU at Ole Miss. LSU a 7-point favorite.
Man, I love me some Shea Patterson. I love me some electric Ole Miss offense. They finally getting the ball rolling on offense. I love the momentum LSU's got, too. It's only 7, so I'm going to take LSU in a 10-point win.
LSU's a 7-point favorite. Give me Ole Miss and the points, man. I think it's going to be a really close ball game. What are they, like the blue, the shark, black bears now, or
the,
land shark?
Land sharks.
Land shark. Give me Ole Miss, the dogs. I take the points.
Number 21, Auburn at Arkansas. Auburn, a 15.5-point favorite.
Arkansas without Austin Allen again this week. Just in a funk right now. Can't get anything going. I like what Jarrett Stidham and the Auburn offense is doing. Two of the best running backs in the SEC. For me, Auburn offense gets clicking, doesn't stop. They roll over Arkansas. Give me Auburn.
War damn ego. I'm going to take Auburn as well. Like what you said. Arkansas, even without, you know, Austin Allen, they just haven't looked that great. Brett Bielema, I think his guys play for him more than Butch's guys play for Tennessee. I just think that they're just spent. Like, they're just not getting it done. Probably need a recharge down there in Arkansas, time for a regime change. But give me War Damn Eagle, 15.5-point favorite.
Some Pac-12 at night action. Colorado at number 15, Washington State. Washington State, a 10-point favorite.
Home games win these games, or home teams rather win these games the past couple of years. I love what Mike Leach is doing. Had a pretty embarrassing setback, really, against Cal. Luke Falk throwing 5 picks there. I like the bounce back. Colorado, been okay this season, but not as much talent as the Buffaloes had last season. Give me Washington State by 14.
Yeah, that's going to be chalk for me, too. I'll take Washington State. Easy in Pullman. Pac-12 after dark. And always good games to watch if I can stay awake that late. Sometimes I get to watch those games. I'm, you know, very intrigued, but I just fall asleep because it's such a late kickoff time. But, yeah, I'll take Washington State and Mike Leach to bounce back.
Number 11, Southern California. At number 13, Notre Dame. Notre Dame, a 3.5-point favorite.
Such a tough one, man, because – Notre Dame, other than Michigan State, hadn't really won a big game this season. You know, lost that 1-point game to Georgia, which looks like a good loss. Obviously, Georgia, the number 3 team in the country right now, but beat a struggling North Carolina team. At home, USC turned it around a little bit, only beat Utah by a point last week, though, since that loss against Wazoo. Tough for me. If it was any bigger of a spread, I might go with Notre Dame, but I like USC to cover. I think the Trojans get the win.
I'm actually with you, man. Notre Dame looks good. I think it's time for Darnold to, like, have a big game this year. Maybe this is the one. A lot of hype. Probably number 1 pick, at least number 1 quarterback coming out for next year's draft. Yeah, I'm going to take USC, man. I'll take the points on that. I think they have a big game tonight.
SEC matchup, Kentucky traveling down to Mississippi State. Mississippi State, a 13-point favorite.
Tough again. Kentucky, they played pretty well on the road past two seasons under Mark Stoops. You know, only that one-point loss to Florida so far this season when their defensive backs had those who-knows-what breakdowns. Gave up a lot of points to Missouri, though, last week. Score a lot, but gave up a lot. Defense left a lot to be desired. You know, beat Eastern Michigan by four. I think Mississippi State covers.
What's that spread again?
13.
Huh.
Just under two touchdowns chance. You could feel free to take Kentucky and be wrong.
No, I'm going to take Mississippi State. I picked them this week as well on the drive. Give me the Bulldogs to bounce back and handle Kentucky, man. Kentucky's good. But Dan Mullen's been down this year, but he's not going to lose to Kentucky.
The Indiana Hoosiers traveling up to Michigan State. Michigan State, a 6.5-point favorite.
Another small spread here, 6.5, only a touchdown. Indiana, they've proved me well keeping the spread close and entertaining this season. However, Michigan State playing good football, beat Michigan, beat Minnesota. I like the way the defense can handle Mike DeBoer and Indiana's offense. I'm going to take Sparty by a touchdown.
You like Sparty, huh?
I like Sparty. Only got to cover by winning by seven. So, you know, if it was 7.5, I might consider. If it's 10.5, I might consider. But at 6.5, I'm going to take Sparty.
Yeah, I like what Michigan State's been doing to D'Antonio. Kind of can't keep him down, right?
No, can't keep him down.
Can't keep him down. They're at home. That's why I'm going to stick with you and go with Sparty.
Number 9, Oklahoma at Kansas State. Oklahoma, a 14.5-point favorite.
14.5-point favorite after the loss going against Bill Snyder. Bill Snyder, he does not lose, he does not get blown out even in losses.
He actually loses quite often.
Yeah, he doesn't get blown out even in losses. Just a 20-point loss to TCU last week. 14.5, it's tough for me. I think the offense is rolling for Oklahoma, but the defense not getting much done. I'm going to take K-State to cover here.
Baker Mayfield all day trying to get back to the top of the Heisman ranks. Give me Oklahoma to win by the two touchdowns. Easy.
Two touchdowns doesn't cover chance. It's 14.5.
Oh, 15. I'm sorry. I'm looking at spreads on my computer at the same time. Bovada has it at a 14-point.
Still taking on 15, though?
Yeah, I'm taking the 15 on Oklahoma.
Syracuse at number 8, Miami. Miami, a 17.5-point favorite.
Love what Mark Richt has done at Miami this year. I love the big win potential for Miami teams. They're getting the jobs done. But I also love what Syracuse has done to Dino Babers up there, getting the job done. 17.5, though, man. It's a big spread. I think Miami is really good. I think they're a great team. I just don't see them covering 17.5 against Syracuse today. Give me Cuse and the Orange.
So that's what Vegas wants you to think, people. Syracuse, they caught Clemson slipping. That's what, you know, why they're getting a lot of, you know, the Miami, I guess, getting some respect, too. They're, you know, top 10 now, right? They're number eight. Number eight in the country. That was one of my playoff picks when we were talking on the podcast. If, you know, who I was looking at. I'm going to take the Canes, man. I believe in Richt, and I believe that they'll cover today easy. I think Syracuse had a little fluke with Clemson. They just caught him napping, caught him looking ahead in the trap game. So give me the Canes.
Oregon at UCLA. UCLA, a 6-point favorite.
I just don't believe in Jim Mora and UCLA. Offensive line and rushing game has struggled again. Last year they were awful. This year much better. I believe in Willie Taggart, though. I think he's going to get some good things done at Oregon. I think lost a little bit after some early season momentum. I think they're going to get it back. I'm actually going to pick him to upset UCLA, but for spread purposes, taking Oregon. Oregon in the plus 6 here.
I'm going to take UCLA. I think Josh Rosen and Jim Moore bounce back. Just one more dreaded week for UCLA fans to have to put up with him, you know, after I think that they'll inevitably win today and win easy. And that slows them down on the Chip Kelly sweepstakes. Hopefully Tennessee jumps in on there and sweeps them up before UCLA can come to their senses. And the final game. Oh, you got four more?
I thought you had four more.
What other games you got?
Well, you had me add a bunch. So here's one you had me add, Kansas. We're gonna switch it up a little bit. Kansas at number four, Texas Christian. The over 61. Over under.
Oh, 61, let's see. That would be like 41-20 or 45-17. You know what? I'm going to take the under. I like TCU a lot. I love what Gary Patterson's doing. But I think TCU's playing really good defense, and I don't think combined they're going to hit that score. I like TCU to score big. Don't think Kansas will match.
Yeah, big match with you on that one, under.
Arizona State at Utah. Utah, a 10-point favorite.
So weird.
What about Arizona State? Todd Graham.
I know. So weird.
He was on his way out.
To try to pinpoint what the crap Arizona State's going to do under Todd Graham.
Cal Whittingham, hopefully, you know, he might be a coach that's, you know.
Could be looking around.
On John Curry's list.
Yeah, could be looking around.
Maybe he's trying to make a move. A lot of people believe since I've heard that he is of Mormon faith, so he's not trying to get out of there. But, yeah, who you got in this one?
You know, what Utah does well under Kyle Whittingham, play defense and have good special teams. Arizona State struggles against better defenses, and they got to travel to Utah. Give me Utah and the points.
I'm taking Utah and the points, too, with you. Utah comes in as the 10-point favorite. Give me that. Would you take Kyle Whittingham?
I would take Kyle Whittingham. He's got – I really like the offensive coordinator that Utah hired, or the higher offensive coordinator Utah made, and I would want both of those guys coming. I think the guy's name is Troy Taylor.
I don't think he's talked about enough.
I don't think so either. He doesn't get a lot of respect because of Utah, obviously.
And, yeah, because of Utah, and then I guess people say that he's been there his entire career. Like, I know he climbed the ranks as a position coach. He's never really left that part of the nation. He's always been in that area. So, yeah, there's intrigue for me with Cal Whittingham. I don't think he's talked about enough.
Final two games, number 19, Michigan at number 2, Penn State. Penn State, an 8.5-point favorite.
I love this game tonight. Like, I'm going to be watching this game. Like, this is one that I've been talking about all week. It's going to say a lot about James Franklin, what he's doing, how good they really are. Because even though Michigan's, you know, having a tough time, they still got some just, you know, athletes on defense, some studs. I'm going to actually take Michigan on the points because I think it'll be closer. You said Penn State comes as an 8.5-point favorite. I think Penn State wins. Like I said, we're doing this against the spread. But I think Michigan, they keep it close, and Harbaugh has his guys focused for tonight's matchup because it's a big game in prime time, you know, for all of the, you know, the world to see.
You know, last year Michigan handled Penn State. Harbaugh knows.
49-10.
Yeah.
49-10.
Harbaugh, you know. Yeah, so same offensive guys, same personnel for Penn State. I like Harbaugh to key in on defense here, but I think James Franklin's learned some things. I think he's figured out his offense. I think he's getting more in a groove of how to work in the big games to get up for that. I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to take Penn State.
You did surprise me there.
I think Penn State, I'll take it in a 10 or 14-point win, but just Michigan at a quarterback position, just not showing anything right now. And the offense just can't do much. For me, I think Penn State gets it done. Maybe ices it late with the touchdown to make it 10 or 14. I think they cover.
Final game, here we go. Tennessee at number 1, Alabama. Alabama, a 37-point favorite.
Tennessee hasn't scored a touchdown in 10 corners. Give me Bama.
They haven't scored a touchdown in 10 quarters, yeah. Only way I could like really see myself taking Tennessee in the points in this one is if it would have got to 40. Because there does come a point in games where Nick Saban does dial it back. We've seen it. Besides Vandy, for some reason he wanted to beat the hell out of Vandy. I don't know if it was the message around the program, the players, and even Derek Mason with We Want Bama.
Yeah.
I think that probably had a lot to do with
I agree with that.
But Nick Saban doesn't normally just, like, you know, beat the hell out of you just because he knows that he can. He tends to always call the dogs off. They'll run the ball heavy on you when they're up, and they'll just try to kill the clock and, you know, not embarrass you as much as they're already embarrassing you. But I'm with you, man. I take Bama. It would have had to been 40 points or more for me to take Tennessee in this. Bama's really good, and
I mean 38-0 would be Bama covering, and I expect today's score to be much worse than that.
Yeah, the 37 points I think is not anything.
It's so sad. So sad to say that.
Very sad. Very sad. That was the Money Time segment. We'll see how we'll continue to go back to these games. We'll keep ourselves honest. We always let you know our results. If you got any questions, follow at ChanceWKGN on Twitter. We'll put those picks up. Like I said, Nathan got me last week or 2 weeks ago, but neither one of us did well. So probably would have lost you a lot of money in those matchups. We're going to take another quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll try to play the positive-negative game. We'll have some score updates from what's happening in the college football world. Talk about some of these games tonight. Continue to visit that. Take your calls, 865-546-8200. Is anybody listening? Is anybody watching this game? Like, I wonder how many people are actually not going to watch. What? We'll talk about that when we come back. What are some things that you can do, better ways to spend your time than to watch this nonsense this afternoon? We'll talk about that and more on the other side. Tennessee Tailgate, Fox Sports, Knoxville. Back on the tailgate right here on Fox Sports Knoxville, AM 1340, FM 101.5. Chance Collins here, reporting for duty. Talking, we're not really talking too much of anything. You've been listening. Well, like, what can you say about this game? I'd rather like to hear from people how you plan to spend your time outside of watching the debacle that will be at 3:30 on CBS. I'd like to know how you plan to just shield yourself. What are you going to do? 865-546-8200. Nathan's got a list of things that you can do that you can be doing at 3:30 outside of watching the massacre that will happen. It's inevitable, people.
Roll down tide.
What happens next? After the game today, what's the next step? Let's talk about that. 865-546-8200. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Talk to Drago. You're on the tailgate. How you doing today, sir?
Doing well. How are you guys today?
Hey, we're making it. We're doing our best.
All right. Well, I'm running. You're asking what people are doing today. I'm running errands right now for my dog's birthday instead of even trying to prepare to watch this game.
For your dog's birthday? Is that what you said?
My dog's birthday, yes.
Huh. Okay.
But the reason I wanted to call in is, and I'll avoid plugging the website I write for, is because I want to bounce this idea off you, Chance.
Yes, sir.
How the coaching search should be handled, and I want to hear your opinion on it. My idea is to open Neyland Stadium up. You have to pay $100 minimum to get in. You say what coach you want, and you're put in a section. Each section then it nominates one person to come down and talk to Curry and the Board of Trustees on the 50-yard line.
So each
case for who should be the head coach.
Each person would have, you say they'd have like a spokesperson to go down there and talk to them? I missed that part.
If you want Gruden,
okay.
Your section, however big it is, how many people want Gruden, one person gets nominated, whether it's whoever donates the most money or if one person makes the best points or is most well-spoken, they get to present their case to Curry and the Board of Trustees.
I like it. I like it
would
a lot.
Would you pay for that?
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Hell yeah. Absolutely.
Most definitely. Definitely would pay for it. I think
I'll hang up and I'll send you guys a link so you can read my whole spiel.
All right, thanks, Drago. Appreciate that. 865-546-8200 if you want to call. If you want to talk about that, that's a pretty cool idea. So let's kind of dive into that. $100. Everybody pays $100 to get entry into Neyland Stadium. And then the stadium will be separated into sections by coach of choice. And each section of the coaches of preference, you will get the opportunity to nominate a spokesperson, whether that is whoever donated the most money. I guess you can donate outside of $100, or just maybe Who's the best leader of the group? Who's most vocal? So with that being said, I think that'd be pretty cool. And then you would get to go down to go down to the midfield, 50-yard line, and you get a chance to sit down with board trustees and John Curry and make your case. What do you guys think about that? I think that's a pretty cool idea. There's some big money out there. A lot of people pay a lot of money. You take all the money,
yeah,
put it back into the program, or you take all the money.
Give it to me.
It's a signing bonus.
Yeah, give it to Nathan.
Signing bonus.
There we go.
No, not a signing bonus. Coaches get paid enough. Other than say you donate the money, Tennessee donates it to a charity.
That's even a better idea.
And that way you get a lot of exposure for the university by doing that and donating it to the charity. And everybody's happy because whoever donates the most or whoever has the best case, I guess, is how the coach is picked. That would be my question. He said he's going to send us a link so we can look at that. That would be my only question there is, how does John Curry, board of trustees, powers that be, how they decide who has the best? I mean, it's going to be like, who has the best case for the coach?
Yeah.
Is it by argument, by merit?
I don't think it would even get that far.
Who gives the most money? It's hypothetical. Just buy into it. Imagine.
No, I'm imagining. I'm saying, imagine how long the John Gruden camp would take to find one person to go down and talk.
Oh, to go down. Oh, the Gruden camp would be horrible. The Gruden camp, there'd be a Chip Kelly camp. I'd be there in the minority with the Bobby Petrino, I'm sure. I'd be sitting
there. I'm over with the Jeff Bromians.
There'll be some Whittingham Nistas. I'll actually be pretty torn.
Maybe I'll go over and join the George Quarles.
Will
troop.
I sit in the Bobby Petrino section? Will I pay for that seat? Or will I pay for the Lane Kiffin section?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, because you got to think.
I'd be with you in the Lane Kiffin.
You also have to think the types of people that are paying, because you've got the people who want to be the spokesperson, the people who just want to show the section numbers, the people who just want to be there to show support, say, for Gruden. They have no interest in being the spokesperson, but they want to be like, okay, so I'm going to show how big of a number for Gruden there is. Because the Board of Trustees would consider, they would look up and see half the stadium for Gruden. They're like, okay, well, you know, half the freaking fan base that showed up today is here for Gruden. Like, we got to take that in consideration. But also, you're going to have the people that just want to see the show, like you said. Or, like, I think a lot of people that would join the Lane Kiffin camp, or in my case, like the George Quarles camp, that would have been, I guess, back in the Dooley fired coaching search, would show up just to kind of see the madness. That'd be me. I wouldn't want to get in there and try to convince anybody of anything. I would just pay and show up, like, in the groomer's section to see the madness.
Yes, lots of madness there.
Here's one for your chance.
Okay, I'm listening.
So what section do you think one Russell W. Smith would be in? Would he be in the Chip Kelly section or the PJ Fleck section?
He would be.
I think he'd be torn.
Russell's been.
He's been high on the Chip Kelly.
He's been high on the Chip Kelly, but he's that's his avatar right now. But I think he's definitely Gruden. He's buying into a lot of these groomers too. So I'd say PJ Fleck is out of the picture. That's not going to be a section. That's not even going to be one at the stadium in this situation.
We're never going to row the boat here, are we?
I got a question for you guys.
We're not rowing a boat.
I got a question for you guys. If the station could only have one person argue for the coach, not picking a coach, just whoever we nominated, if the station could have one person to go to John Curry and the board and argue that coach, who would it be?
John Reid.
I'm going to say it's either. See, that's what you would think. You think it's John Reid. John Reid's too passionate. He's not too passionate for the fan base. That is what you need. He's the voice for the voiceless. But when you're negotiating a coach, I think John Reid's going to be too invested. I think it's going to need to be my top choice is probably going to be Russell. He can be invested, but he also can be measured. He's going to keep his shirt on. My second choice is going to be Nate will be up there. He'd, you know, the Godfather would be a very measured decision. He actually might be first choice. He's like Switzerland. He's in the middle. He's not really picking a side. And third choice, Let's see.
Would you hit Boomer Dangle on?
Yeah, but their choice probably be Boomer. Be up there. John's going to be the voice for the voiceless. He's here for the fans. But we're talking about picking a coach. You need somebody measured. Keep the shirt on, stuff like that. Keep it diplomatic. So, yeah, probably Nate. If we're sending out our spokesperson from the station, Nate, followed by Russell, and probably followed by Boomer. With Russell might be the best pick because you get the investment from the Tennessee fans' perspective, also a man of the people. But at the same time, you're going to get a little bit more measured, you know. He's the velvet tones.
I'm going to kind of go an opposite tone. I would pick John.
John's number one for you?
Yeah. Here at the station, we get to see, I think, the opposite side of John a little bit. And I think John can measure it down just enough to be passionate but convincing from an argument standpoint. So I'm going to back John in a close 1A. And then I think Russell's my 1B. I like what you said about Russell, the fact that he can be that measured, passionate enough. I think he's similar to John in that way. And, three, Boomer and Nate, both good ones. I think I would almost consider Houston in there too. He's kind of in the same argument for you, Chance, with John, and that he's passionate. I think I would pick probably Nate or Boomer in my third spot. Yeah. I don't know if I could pick one over the other. I feel like Boomer would come in from a very statistical point, and he would have a lot of research done, and have his numbers down, and he would make a very convincing argument for Gary Patterson, for example, or make an argument for Chip Kelly because of his numbers.
See, I'm not going to send myself because I care about graduated from the University of Tennessee. I care about this team a lot, but I'm not quite invested enough to where I feel like I can make the right decision for the entire for the next 5 years. So we can't send me. And that's very admirable of myself to take myself out of the equation as well. Not selfish. So, number one, not taking myself out there. Number two, we can't send the Bear. I mean, first of all, it's the Bear. Can't send a guy named Bear to handle diplomatic relations, be a spokesperson. Second of all, he's got a temper. Can't send the Bear down there. And then since we're just doing three, next person we're probably not going to send is probably Esteban. A little rough around the edges. He also does a little bit of wrestling, so he's taking a bunch of shots on the head. Can't send him over there either. He might make the wrong decision in the heat of the moment, and we're sitting here with Mike Bobo.
Hey, Chance, I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. Lights are on, but nobody's home, all right?
Yeah, see? That's why we can't send him. Lights are on when nobody's home. So there's my people we don't send, people we do send. I like that idea, though, just to kick around some different ways to go about this coach search. When we return, we'll tell you, Nathan will go through his list of things you can be doing at 3:30 besides watching this game. I think there's an article up at Fox Sports Knoxville. Also, we got 30 minutes coming up, commercial free. So don't change that dial. We'll break down the game a little bit, I guess, in the last 30 minutes or so. We'll do our best, and we'll tell you what we'd rather be doing than, watching this game this afternoon. You listen to the Tennessee Tailgate right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Tom Herman era there at Texas. Head up to the Big Ten. Wisconsin still got a hold on Maryland, 28-13 in the fourth quarter. Wisconsin driving now. Iowa and Northwestern in a close one late in the fourth quarter. Northwestern up 10-7 on the Hawkeyes with 5 minutes to go in that one. Rutgers on top of Jeff Brom and Purdue, 14-6 right now. That does not look good for the Jeff Bromians. 14-6 Rutgers with 9 minutes left in that one. In the SEC, Missouri still up big on Idaho. They put a 50-burger up in the first half in that one. And the ACC, some interesting scores of note that I just had and disappeared. So rest in peace, my laptop. It's closing down. Here we go. Louisville up 28-21 in the fourth quarter on Florida State. Now that'd be a big win for Bobby Petrino, second year in a row. Duke come back on Pittsburgh, 17-14, and Boston College still whooping Virginia, 34-7. That is your score update.
Yeah. Be watching Bobby Petrino closely today, too. I'll be watching him, Florida State fan. But also, I mean, if he can beat Jimbo 2 years in a row, it's a good coach for you, man. It's a good coach for you, Oklahoma State, Texas. That's getting interesting. Tom Herman, if he can knock off Gundy and that high-powered offense he has with Mason Rudolph, Jalen McCleskey, they got the – I can't think of his name not right now. I was watching him on game day this morning, but the guy was averaging like 20 yards a reception. They just have a bunch of studs in their offense. Texas can come away with that one. Got to thank those boosters for the University of Texas. We'll be happy. And Florida State scores! Florida State scores! They're tying this one up. They're tying this one up. No, you guys really wanted that one. Yeah, we got to talk about coaches, people. And first off, though, Nathan, tell people what they can be doing out at 3:30 this afternoon outside of watching the massacre that will be in T-Town.
Our very own Will Warren does an opponent preview each week for your Tennessee Volunteer football opponents. This week, instead of previewing the juggernaut that is Alabama and the beatdown that will be Alabama over Tennessee today, he offered plenty of existentialist views and trying to pump you up in your life, some things that we enjoy. Something else he offered in his preview, some alternative routes of entertainment, rather, today. So, there's a MASH marathon on WGN America from 2 to 6 Eastern today if you're feeling like some throwbacks. Forensic Files, also with a marathon on CNN Headline News. You can just get started on Forensic Files and keep going, man. You can get deep. From 1 to 7 tomorrow morning. You can just tune in anytime. 3:30 showing of Blade Runner 2049 at a theater near you. I can confirm that's a pretty good movie if you're a fan of the Blade Runner franchise. You can listen to the first 5 Lynyrd Skynyrd studio albums for a total of 2 hours and 58 minutes. Watch the first 6 episodes of American Vandal for about 3.5 hours. You can watch all of season 1 of Nathan For You, that's not me, Nathan For You, though, which is just under 4 hours. Or you can go outside, you can ride a bike, you can cry into a pillow thinking about things that could have gone better in life. Any of those things can serve you better today than watching Tennessee-Alabama if you're considering not watching the game.
I like that. Any other submissions from you guys?
You can get lost in the world that is YouTube and Netflix.
Yeah, you could get started on Game of Thrones.
Ooh, I could do that.
I think that would be a solid move. The Wire. I love The Wire. You don't want to watch this bloodbath this afternoon. Start The Wire on HBO if you got HBO. Try to get a couple episodes of that in. I mean, they're hour-long episodes, so think about that. Almost 4-hour game. You watch about 3 episodes, you'll be hooked. You'll continue to watch throughout the night. Next thing you know, you've watched the first season. So that's a good one. Breaking Bad. You could try to do that. You go to the mountains.
It is a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day, fall.
Cade's Cove's ready for you.
Yeah, the leaves been falling. You head to our friends up at Rickard Ridge.
Go get some barbecue.
Yeah, go do that.
Go get some Jets pizza.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna do a bonfire at the house.
A bonfire? That would be good.
Do some s'mores.
That would be good. Yeah, you can make some s'mores for the kids.
Burn stuff.
Yeah, burn some stuff. Not couches or anything like that.
No.
Burn some stuff. Like you say, do some s'mores.
You could recreate Hamlet with your relatives.
Things I would not normally do, but I would do today instead of watch the game. Move furniture around. You know, like reorganize.
That's what Alabama's going to do on the field today.
Your living room or your bedroom or something like that.
Shampoo the carpet.
Shampoo the carpet. Shampoo that's the carpet. A good one. Shampoo maybe my upholstery and my truck. Wash my truck today.
Wash your
dog bath today.
Yeah, give my dog a bath. Those are some things I'll probably be doing. Some other things.
Try some new recipes out. Some afternoon recipes.
You know what, Chance?
Afternoon.
Today would be a good day for a chili cook-off.
Yeah?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
It would.
Well, I can't. I've been on this keto diet for a pretty long time now.
I'll take you on, Esteban.
I'm pretty strict on my regimen. That's how I'm dropping
these
pounds.
I'm sure you can make a keto chili.
I probably could, but it seems like a lot of work. Let's see. What else? What's some other things we could do today? If you're married, go go to the mall with your wife, girlfriend, you know,
shop.
Things like that. Shop.
Shop.
You know, you tell your wife, girlfriend, whatever, you know, you say, hey, I'm taking you to the mall. And then she thinks, yeah, you know, my sweet,
hey, today's
sweet
a good
significant
day.
Other.
Today's
really,
a good day.
You just don't want to watch the game.
Today's a good day to get that actually get out and do the honey-do list.
Yeah, honey-do list.
Get the yard work done.
That's a
Mow
good one.
Mow your grass. Get that last cut for the year.
Mow your grass. Dust. I hate dusting. So that's always something you could do today. A lot of things, man.
There's a lot. A lot of good things.
Cut the grass.
A lot of good things, yeah.
A lot of good things besides not watching the pile of crap on at 3:30.
You still got DVDs on hand?
No.
You
no.
could watch your dog
alphabetized.
Take
do
a pile of crap.
Do I still have DVDs? I got maybe like 10 DVDs. Who
put them in alphabetical order.
I've got DVDs.
Put them in alphabetical order.
Do people still have DVDs?
I still got some, yeah.
I've got DVDs, Chance.
Not since the Fire Stick, and we won't go with the, you know.
Oh, yeah. That sounds sort of like an elitist then, huh? I didn't think people still had DVDs.
I still got VHS.
Last hour of the tailgate coming up next. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with you for 30 minutes of commercial-free broadcast right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Stay with us.
Dr. Daniel Smith here of Smith Family Dentistry in Oliver.